This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
Yes, it is that time of week again. It's time for our weekly chat with former England international Carlton Palmer on It Is What It Is. And it might be the end of the season, but there is still plenty of topics for myself, Joe Redmond and Carlton Palmer to get our tea sunk into. And of course, Carlton joins me on the line right now. Carlton, how's it going, mate?
Yeah, all good, pal. Just a bit tired. I've been over in Hong Kong playing football and it was really hot. So, yeah, took its toll and then a few drinks, as you do with the boys. So it's been a great trip. Yeah, really enjoyed it, but now back to work now.
But it's a nice setting to play football in, though.
Yeah, it is. They do it at Hong Kong Football Club, which is run by Tony Seeley. It is a really nice setting, to be honest with you. And I went over to play for Viv Anderson set up a company called Player Pro, which is for sort of ex-players, not just footballers, cricketers. There's all kinds of, you know, finish the great, just to get, he's doing it just to get the lads together, and you know, because that's the one thing everybody misses when they finish playing football is the crack that you all have with each other.
Yeah, definitely, but it certainly beats playing football in a rainy Lancashire, which is all I get a chance to do these days. But as mentioned there in the intro, there is plenty to talk about for myself and Carlton. Arsenal have a new manager, West Brom have a new manager, and someone that you know very well, Carlton, as well, so I presume you'll be pleased about that, so we'll get into that in a few questions time. Obviously, Chelsea have won the FA Cup, and we will be looking forward to the Champions League final this Saturday. We'll get into that.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.
So yes, Carlton, like I said, plenty for us to get our teeth sunk into. And some of the breaking news, well, it's not official yet, but it has been announced by quite a few in-the-known sources that Unai Emery will be the new Arsenal manager. Now, I know you wanted a few of the younger British managers to be given a chance on that one. So how do you feel about this?
I think it's a good appointment. I really do. I think if we're led to believe, Arteta has pulled himself out the running of the race over financial implications over the transfer situation. Arsenal have always worked in that sort of situation, and I think if he was genuinely in the running for him, it's a big job for him to turn down. There's not many like that come along. And Arsenal will be looking at the amount of money they've already spent on players just before Arsene Wenger went. So with somebody like Unai Emery, who's got fantastic track record. Okay, he's done the treble last season, but from what I've heard and what I've read, he's very organised. He's very tactical. It's a different shift to Arsenal, which I think, like I've said before, they're not short or too far short of a team that could be challenging. There's just one or two little bits to change at the football club and just get, for me, a good centre-back in there. And they wouldn't be too far off, I don't think.
How do you think they'll do under the new regime then next season? Because, like you say, they are maybe a few signings short, but we know now who the manager's going to be. And he has got quite a good pedigree. I think he was at Sevilla when they won three Europa Leagues in a row. So, like I said, he's got a good European pedigree as well, and he's done well at PSG as well, albeit with a lot of money. So how do you think they'll do next season?
I think they'll do well. I really do. I mean, it's going to take him time. As I've said to you before, when you come into the Premier League, it's not as easy as that, understanding the demands of the Premier League. And obviously, he's coming off the back of a World Cup as well, which is always difficult when players have been away and playing in the summer. But I think it's a good signing for Arsenal. I mean, I know the Arsenal fans were looking at the likes of Simeone and whatever, but to get those types of managers, you're going to have to pay lots and lots of money. And I think what Arsenal were trying to do and trying to be careful about doing is ripping it all up. And this is what all these clubs do. You know, they get another manager in, so they have to sack all the backroom staff and whatever. It's an awful lot of money. So I think they were wanting somebody to come in with the makeup as the way it is and continue on. So I'm not disappointed with this appointment at all. I think it's a good appointment.
Yeah, can't help but agree with you there, Carlton. Sticking with the managerial merry-go-round, West Ham United announced this morning that Manuel Pellegrini will be their new boss. Quite a big name. He's obviously won the Premier League before with Manchester City. So is that another good appointment, would you say?
It's a great appointment. But, you know, it's what the Sullivans had promised that they were going to do when they moved to Wembley. They said they would spend the cash and bring in, you know, marquee signings, and they didn't do that. And it's left a little bit of a sour taste. But I mean, this shows a sign of intent. And obviously they got that he won't have come unless they're not going to give him money to spend. So he's obviously got money to spend. So we should look forward to exciting times at West Ham. Really good appointment.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how they get on next season after, for their standards, such a poor season this season. Sticking with the managerial merry-go-round again, Darren Moore was given the chance to be the manager next season at West Brom. We have spoken about it, me and you, several times on the show. I think you know Darren quite well, so you'll be quite pleased that he's been given the chance.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, there's just this circle that keeps going around and going around, and nothing changes. You know, these managers go into clubs, they've failed before. So give somebody, he seems to have the backing of the players. I definitely know he's got the backing of the crowd, and he's got the backing of the board. He's done all his coaching badges. He's a fine, upstanding young man. Give him an opportunity. I think he'll do very, very well. And I was delighted that, you know, Darren was given the opportunity. I really was.
Do they need to bounce back at the first time for him to be a success, or is it just all about stabilising the club now?
No, any team that goes down, I mean, it's 45 million, I think, or 49 million that you get as parachute money if you go down. So, no, the pressure's on Darren. The pressure's on for him to do what the likes of Steve Bruce has done. Like, you know, they're in the playoff final. You know, you have to deliver. And, you know, there's one thing being presented, the opportunity. The other thing is now you've got to deliver. He's got to get them back up. That'll be his job. And if he does that, then he's set then. He's set then in going forward as a manager. But no, outside of the from the start off, being outside the playoffs wouldn't be acceptable.
Have you spoken to Darren since he's been given the chance?
I haven't. I've sent a message, but I haven't spoken to him personally. I've just, you know, wished him congratulations. But when I get back in the summer, I'll head down to see him. But you know, I'm totally pleased for him. And now the work starts. And what I hope he does is gets being a young manager who's not been in that position before. He just needs a senior guiding figure alongside, you know, I hope he's allowed to go and do that, because I know that at West Brom they do a lot of things where, you know, what I'm saying is they don't rip it up if they change the head coaches, but the goalkeeper coach, the first team coach, a lot of those people remain the same. But I hope he's allowed to get somebody inexperienced who can, you know, give him some advice at any particular time that he may need it.
We spoke at length last week on England's chances at the World Cup. Southgate has since announced his squad, and today he revealed, after saying last week that he wasn't going to announce it till later on, that Harry Kane will be the captain for England at the World Cup. What do you make of that one? Because a lot of people now are saying it should have been Jordan Henderson. A few people are saying that, you know, he should have mixed between the two, things like that. So what do you make of Harry Kane being the England captain?
Well, I've just got a thing about a centre forward being captain. I just, you know, the captain and lead by example for sure. But I always think that it should be either a midfield player or a central defender, because they can see the old game, they can see what's going on. As somebody who will lead his country, well, yes, of course, Harry Kane will do that. But I've always been one of those, captain of a football club for me should be a midfield player or a centre-back, because they can see the old play. Even a goalkeeper, to be fair, because they can see all what's in front of them. I think a striker can't really get a picture of the game, to be honest with you. So it's just me as an individual. You know, I don't like strikers being captains.
Would you have had Henderson then?
If Jordan Henderson was going to figure, I mean, obviously you don't want to be you know, spreading the armband across. If Jordan Henderson was going to figure in his mind in all of the games, then yes, I would have looked at somebody like Jordan Henderson. You know, I think he's probably looked at Cahill, but will Cahill be guaranteed to start? Probably not. I think what he's done, he's gone for somebody that he knows he's definitely going to start, which is Harry Kane. And I'm not saying nothing personal about Harry Kane. I think he's a fantastic footballer. I think he carries himself very, very well. And in terms of a person, it's the right choice. It's just me personally. I think a midfield player, a centre back, can see the whole game, you know, and make subtle differences on a football pitch that a striker can't possibly see.
Obviously, it was the FA Cup final the weekend just gone. Chelsea beating Manchester United to lift the title. I mean, you both predicted a Man United win, so what do we know? But what did you make of the game as well? Because a lot of people have since started criticising Mourinho's tactics and now criticising Manchester United's season. All of a sudden, it's become a poor season, a lot of people are saying. Would you agree with that?
No, I don't agree with that. You can't come second in the Premier League against Man City and then, you know, you've come second in the FA Cup final. So if you're saying that's a poor season, then what about the other six or seven sides in the top half of the table? Liverpool, Tottenham. Okay, Liverpool are in the Champions League final. If they don't win the Champions League final, does that mean they've had a poor season? You have to be careful. You can't just say by winning, denotes the season as a success. The success for Man United is the improvement of what they've been in recent years. Sixth and seventh. It's been a big transition since Sir Alex Ferguson left, and there was always going to be that. And it's taking them time to get back. You know, they'll be there or thereabouts next season with Mourinho again. I know he's not everybody's cup of tea. I know his style of play is not everybody's cup of tea. But he gets football results, and that's what he's been brought in to do.
Totally agree. I think some people are far too quick to heat criticism on Jose Mourinho and Manchester United. You mentioned it there, though, briefly. It is the Champions League final this weekend. What are your predictions? Obviously, Liverpool against Real Madrid.
It's a difficult one. It's a really, really difficult one to call. You've got, I think, Real Madrid are poor at the back, and I think they can get at him. So I definitely see that Liverpool could create problems, but then you've got you know, I believe there's talk that Bale will start. There's you know, and obviously, you know, you've got Ronaldo. If he decides on any given day that he's going to turn up, then that's a major problem for anybody. But I think it'll be a closer game than people are giving it credit for. But the one thing that won't change, or I'll be very surprised if he does, I think Jurgen Klopp will go for it, and I think that's his best chance to really go and have a go and put them under pressure. Really put them under pressure at the back. Play high up the park against them and put them under pressure. And see if you can get, you know, one or two goals up. We've seen that before, haven't we, this season, where, you know, Real Madrid have conceded three or four goals.
Yeah.
So, you know, Liverpool have got the players who can do that. And, you know, I'm going to go for a Liverpool win. I am. I'm going to stick my neck out and, you know, go for a Liverpool win.
Can we expect plenty of goals? A high-scoring game, maybe?
I think so. That's what I'm saying. I think they're going to have to. Real Madrid don't know how to play any other way, so they're going to play attacking football. That's the way they play. Liverpool, that's the way they played all season. Gone at teams, gone at teams, gone at teams. So I can't see there being nothing else but a lot of goals in this game. I really can't. And like most things, it's who can get their noses in front first. I mean, if Liverpool can get one or two up early doors, it's a lot of pressure on Real Madrid then, and they've got to attack and they'll leave themselves open at the back. As most of these cases are, when you get to semi-finals, finals, quarter-finals, the first goal is all important. It's so important. And if Liverpool can get the first goal and Real Madrid have to come out against them, you could see them getting another goal.
In the excitement of the Champions League final, overshadowed slightly, is a Championship playoff final, which is also taking place on Saturday, of course, at Wembley Stadium. It's Aston Villa against Fulham, two teams that have impressed in the Championship this season. What are your predictions for that one?
Well, it's my boy's birthday today. He's 20 today and he's a massive Villa supporter. So I'm going to go Aston Villa in here. I just, like I said when we talked last week, I just think things are meant to be, and I just think that Steve Bruce started at Aston Villa, didn't have a particular start. There was talk of him going. He's lost both his parents, you know, God rest his soul. He's lost both his parents this season. It's just been, you know, a tough, tough time for Steve Bruce. And so I think sometimes it's just the way it works out. And I think that, you know, at the end of it, Steve will sit down on Saturday night having taken Villa back to the Premier League, which will be a magnificent achievement. I think that would be, is that four promotions Steve will have then had, which is a magnificent achievement.
Yeah, really will be. I'm looking forward to that one. I think that one could be just as good as the Champions League final. Also as well, excuse me, Bank Holiday weekend, there's a couple of other player finals that weekend. Rotherham against Shrewsbury in League One and Coventry against Exeter in League Two. Who do you think's been promoted out of them two games?
Well, Shrewsbury, you know, this is the beauty of the playoffs, but I mean, Shrewsbury in the league have finished 9 points ahead of them, haven't they?
Yeah.
You know? But it doesn't always work like that, does it? It doesn't always work like that. But I'm going to stick my neck out. I'm going to go for Shrewsbury and I'm going for Coventry.
I think the Rotherham Shrewsbury one's going to be an interesting one. Really do. I think Rotherham have hit form at the right time, but it would be so unfair on Shrewsbury if they didn't go up. But like you say, that is the beauty of football. They've been fantastic in the league this season of Shrewsbury. They were tipped to go down, weren't they, at the start of the season?
Exactly. I do agree with you. Rotherham have it's a good vein of form, and this is what happens. But I just think Shrewsbury might turn up. I think they're a good side. And I think if they turn up, I think they can win that one. The other one's a close game. It's a close, close game. 5 points between them in the league. So there's little more to choose between them. Obviously, because I play for Coventry and, you know, I'm a Midlands boy, I'm going to go for Coventry and Villa, aren't I?
Yeah, you have to. I know you're a massive boxing fan as well, Carlton. We've talked about it a few times. On the show, Josh Warrington at Elland Road last Saturday. I was ringside covering it for Proper Sport. Absolutely fantastic boxing match as well. And of course, Josh became Leeds' first ever world champion. Did you manage to watch it?
I've just watched it this afternoon. Yeah, I've just watched it this afternoon. I think it was a close fight. I think Josh. Yeah. I mean, I'm a big Lee Selby fan. Nothing to do with Josh, but I'm a big Lee Selby fan. I thought Josh fought a great fight. I thought he was unlucky. I thought he was lucky not to be deducted points. I think he used his head a lot, and the cuts that Lee's had. Obviously, with Lee being the taller guy, if somebody's coming in, it's always dangerous. But I thought, you know, at the end of the day, I thought he just about did enough to win it. Josh, fair play to him. I thought he started off with tremendous tempo and kept it going, but showed great maturity in his boxing that I've not seen before. I mean, I'm a big boxing fan and I've watched it, and I've watched Lee Selby over a lot of years. He's a good fighter. But fair play to Josh. He didn't just bulldoze him down. His combinations, his work to the body, he's putting pressure up, his eye guard. Now, fair play to him and well done. And he said that he was going to do it. But I wouldn't be surprised if there's another fight to happen there. I think there's a rematch all day long with those two.
Will be interesting to see, because I think the Elland Road crowd played a massive part in it. Obviously, like you said, Josh came out all guns blazing in the first couple of rounds, and I think that was partly to do, well, quite a lot to do with the Elland Road crowd. And obviously, he'll say that he'd trained well and things like that, which I'm sure he has. But if it was to go somewhere else, thinking that maybe Lee Selby might have the edge?
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't think that would have bothered Lee. He's travelled all around the world and boxed. Mm. So I don't think the partisan crowd would have bothered him. I think it helped Josh, obviously.
Yeah, definitely.
It definitely helped Josh because, as I said, I mean, it's a fantastic performance by him. And close fight as well. I mean, if he'd have been deducted a point here or there, which he could have easily have been done, I mean, I know I'm a Lee Selby fan, but he's hit him a couple of times around the back of the head and the head, but he could have easily have had a point or two deducted, and it could have been, scored a draw. I definitely would not have had Josh losing that fight. I thought he boxed a pretty brilliant fight, and I'm pleased for him, and I hope they get to do it again. I really do.
Yeah, I agree with you, because I really enjoyed that fight, to be honest, so it will be good to see it again. It's coming towards the end of the podcast now, Carlton, so this is always a bit where I throw anything over to you to see if you've seen anything that you want to talk about.
No, I've not really seen anything. As I say, I've been in Hong Kong. I've just been the only thing I've just seen now. Have you seen the Rowett has just asked to speak to Stoke City?
Yes, I believe so. That's what I left out because we spoke so much about managerial appointments. But I agree, it is an unusual one because I think he said when he went to Derby, this is a job of his dreams, and that was at the start of the season, was it?
Yeah, and then Stoke came for him before, didn't they? And they offered £1 million compensation and Derby gave him a new 3-year contract. But I believe that there's a bit of unrest there because, you know, the aim was to get up this year. He's not had an awful lot of money to spend. And I think the restraints are going to pull next year even more. So, you know, he's decided, you know, which you have to as a manager, because let me tell you, if you don't deliver, they'll soon get rid of you. So, you know, he's decided to ask to speak to Stoke. As I said, they're going to get... It's a very well-run football club, is Stoke. So he will have, you know, a huge budget to work with in the Championship, and he's a good manager. So I just thought that one was a little, especially when the club rewarded him for staying in the first place by giving him a new 3-year contract. But having said that, in the game of football these days, if he loses the first 5 games next season, they wouldn't be too harsh on giving him the sack either.
Exactly, yeah, and I think it'll give him an even better chance to finally get that promotion to the Premier League, which is obviously where he wants to be.
Yeah, I mean, he's a good young manager. He's done very well everywhere he's been. I mean, to get Derby into the position, what he has done the last couple of seasons, you know, can't be knocked it. Well, I think it's one season there, what he did with Birmingham, the job there. I think he's a good young manager. So, yeah, I mean, if he's asked to speak to Stoke now, I would think I think there's a 2 million compensation clause. So obviously Stoke are prepared to pay that. And if he's asked to speak to him, I think that's likely to happen sooner rather than later.
It would look that way. Thank you as ever, though, for joining us, Carlton. That is the end of the podcast, I'm afraid. So like I said, thank you for joining us and we'll speak to you soon.
OK, thank you. No worries. Take care now.
This is It Is What It Is with Carlton Palmer on Proper Sport.